once this all takes effect, which again, currently would be July 1.
And I just want to emphasize that, that if we are not successful in meeting the timeline or getting an extension, real estate activity insofar as federally related transactions stops in Oregon on July 1st.
I think another thing that has to be said is that this has a real impact on those 400 people who are currently licensed. I can't imagine how I would feel as a lawyer if somebody came to me and said my ticket to practice law is going to expire on July 1, and we'll tell you about the 15th of June what kind of a test you have to have and what kind of education you have to continue with your livelihood. There's a group of people out there that are really being very cooperative in helping us to get through this crisis, but they're very seriously impacted too, and I don't think they should be forgotten. Section 14 gives the agency that we're creating supervisory and disciplinary powers over the appraisers, and it goes on for some pages. A lot of that section actually came out of the existing provisions of Chapter 696 that speak substantively to the supervision and discipline of appraisers, and so I think you'll see a lot of similarity there. And Section 15 requires that after the effective date, not only must all federally related appraisals be done by certified or licensed appraisers, but they must also be done in accordance with standards that are established by the federal banking regulatory agencies. The FDIC, for example, has already put out its standards for appraisals. You must do this, it must contain that, it must be done in this fashion, it must be in this format. So we have a dual requirement that takes effect on July 1st as to the format and as to who does the work. Now, the balance of the bill, as I mentioned before, goes through some 30 sections of existing Oregon law and simply makes amendments which, in our opinion, bring them into conformity and consistency with the sections 1 through 15, the new law in this bill. As I mentioned, most of those are in Chapter 696 and are our attempt to reform those provisions, taking out the licensing, et cetera, of appraisers, and to leave intact, and Commissioner Larson mentioned this, the importance of leaving intact the regulatory framework for all of the other people who are within Chapter 696. It's certainly not our intention to in any way affect that.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, we'll be happy to go through those sections if you want us to, but you've had them summarized. Let me point out that as I watch other states try to wrestle with this during 1990, it became an extremely controversial issue in every single state. Trips to Washington, D.C. to no avail, begging Congress to stall. But inside the states, turmoil between the affected parties. I want to report to you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee, that as of this moment, we have brought you a bill that I think saved the dot the I's, cross the T's, that we know we're going to be needing to do. And Commissioner Larson received her copy of this just as this hearing began, and so her department certainly will have input in others. But at this point, I want to thank the associations that have worked with us and met with us long hours to bring this to you.
Okay, question by committee members.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Representative Walden.
How many appraisers are there? Did you say 400?
I was simply repeating the figure that I heard Commissioner Larson say, and I think that's accurate.
Commissioner Larson.
Hi, Marilla Larson. Our license count as of January 1st of this year was 463 real estate appraisers. That's what we had in our license count.
Okay. You won't be administering this. All right.
But, Mr. Chair, Representative Walden, a real concern is, can someone who has to go through this, climb this new ladder, afford to represent parts of your district? In other words, how do we get a property appraised in some of our rural communities without asking someone from Portland or Salem or the Valley to come there. I'm very concerned about the rural areas who are now being served. I'm concerned about will they be served after we put this in.
Well, that was going to be my follow-up question. What is the difference in cost and training, I mean, compared to what we're doing now? When you look at these fees versus what somebody's paying, I'm unfamiliar with it.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, right now we have a license fee. I'll see if I can answer. If I can't, Mr. Osborne is here with me. He does all of our bookkeeping in the agency, for lack of better terminology. The license fee for an appraiser is $150 for 2 years at this time. And I don't know what's in their bid proposal.
Representative Walden, we proposed the same, but that's without the consent of the agency that will be administering this new, with, I think, more whistles and bells required on the examination, certainly on the experience,
Mr. Chairman, the fees provision in our bill is Section 8, and it's actually sub 5, beginning on page 11. And what we've done is just to mirror the provisions of the existing Chapter 696, which now says that the fees can be up to certain dollar amounts. We've simply repeated those as we thought they applied, pulled those out and stuck them in here.
Does that, Mr. Chair, does that include the new federal fee you discussed?
No. And what's that's it? A separate fee. How of $25 a year.
$25 a year?
Yes, it's really a nominal, it's just a fee to I won't say what I was going to say. It's a nuisance fee is what it is, that will allow them, I think, to maintain a roster of appraisers across the country.
Mr. Chair, Mr. Deputy Commissioner Osborne just pointed out to me, and you should be aware of this, and in that count, I'm telling you, only appraiser license. Brokers can appraise also in the state of Oregon. We anticipate that a few of those who do now appraise by virtue of their broker's license will pick up an appraiser's license, but we have no idea what that number would be, because they would then have to get two licenses, of course, their real estate broker's license and their appraiser's license.
Mr. Chair, how many brokers do we have?
We have roughly 4,500 brokers in the state of Oregon, but very few probably actually appraise property, you see.
Okay. My second part of my question was, what do you anticipate the training requirement time being versus
The current, Mr. Chair, Representative Walden, Frank Bronner with the Oregon Bankers, the current requirement is 2,000 hours of experience to be a licensed appraiser and 75 hours of classroom instruction. I anticipate that the appraisal subcommittee in Washington will maintain that level. I don't see any weakening. Now, they may give us some benefit as to what qualifies as experience over what they've issued thus far. But the 75 hours, and I can't remember the certified, but the appraisers are signed up to testify right after. Is it the same?
165.
It's 165 hours to become certified of classroom instruction. Mr. Haas and I are going to open our own appraisal school as this bill starts to move.
Well, yes. If I may,
and that will be an expense. That will be an expense that appraisers today are not incurring.
Well, you made the comment, I believe, or someone did, that existing appraisers would not be grandfathered.
Cannot be.
Does that mean if I were an appraiser and I had 75 hours and the 2,000 hours, I'm now going to start at ground zero and have to go get 165 hours of training, or does the 75 count toward the 165?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Walden, it's my understanding that whatever experience and training that you've had in the past will count, but the fact that you have been licensed will not in and of itself entitle you to a license or a certificate under this new program. I don't know what the existing requirements are for a license in terms of training. Commissioner Larson can speak to that.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, there are two things you have to meet, and that's education and experience.
And that's the 2007.
Okay, and that's what we've been talking about here, but there are two issues that you have to meet. Presently, we have a licensing scheme in which we have set up, it's unique in Oregon, but we've set up a point system so that an individual can have a combination of experience and education. They can have more of one, less of the other, but they must come up with a total points at the bottom on our scale of 30, and I can surely get you one of those application packets if you would like to see that. But it's a system which we've developed, I think in 1982 or 4, somewhere in that area, and it's worked very well because it does let the individual trade off. Now, under this new scheme that is there, you start out basically at the licensing level and add on. So in other words, if you were the licensed appraiser with the 75 hours, then you would add on to it to become the certified. And you can go, of course, directly to the certified if you have that. We have, to concur with what Mr. Bronner has said, we have found that the classes that they are going to accept are a very broad range of topics. It's not going to be a very narrow field, so that should be relatively easy to meet.
But there's no trade-off.
No, there's no trade-off now.
The point system would go away.
That's right. Our point system
so
would go away.
Have hard hours on both categories.
But you would still have the education and experience that you have to meet.
Further question, Representative Nadeau?
Well, I was just trying to sort out the idea of a corporation doing appraisals on their own property or wanting to buy property. And
would you start over?
Okay.
I'm sorry, I was bothering the council.
All right. I'm looking at the definitions of who's covered and who's not covered and trying to determine when a corporation with their own employees that's interested in buying or selling their own property is doing appraisals. And in 11 subsection A and B are the two ones I'm looking at specifically. If you could just kind of go through that, it looks like in subsection A, if you've got like a partnership or a couple different entities owning property, then anyone doing any appraisal on that property would have to be licensed.
Well, Representative Nadeau, first of all, any appraisal that is involved with a federally related transaction, including any of those listed on pages 4, 5, and 6, would require certification or licensing.
Right, I understand.
That's
that.
The starting place.
Right.
If you're not talking about a federally related transaction, then you don't need to be licensed if you fall into one of these categories. That's the basic scheme. Now, first of all, I should say that A and B came directly out of the provisions of Chapter 696. I just stole them without shame because they seemed to accomplish things that we were that were consistent with our purposes. We're talking about a work that is performed by someone who is a full-time employer. If the activity involves the real estate of that employer and is incidental to the employee's activities, in other words, if he doesn't perform this appraisal-type work all the time for that employer, but only does it occasionally or incidentally, then that would be exempt. If, on the other hand, he's doing this all the time for that employer, it would not be exempt. And that's, again, no change from the existing law, which would require that individual to have a license under Chapter 696.
Okay.
B is a little bit, a little different perspective. Here we're talking about work that is performed, again, by a full-time employee whose activity involves the real estate of the employer, where that activity is the principal work of that employee, but the employer's principal activity is not related to the appraisal of real estate. So here you could have somebody who works full-time as a, quote, appraiser for a company going around, and, for instance, a railroad right-of-way employee whose job it is to go around and make assessments for the benefit of the company as to the value of given pieces of real property. But that company, the railroad, is not in the business of appraising real property, therefore no license would be required. Now, Commissioner Larson may want to elaborate somewhat on my interpretation of her statute, but that's the way I read it.
Mr. Hawes is satisfied, Mr.
Okay.
Chairman.
So, wait.
Deputy Commissioner Steve Hawes.
This is essentially then what we have right now. That you've
yes, those
at.
Two sections are exactly out of the existing law.
Okay, further questions? Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you.
Mike Dewey.
A lot of time.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members of the committee, my name is Mike Dewey, representing the Appraisal Foundation of Oregon. Larry Tappan is with me today, who is the president of the foundation. Let me first of all commend Commissioner Larson also and Steve Hawes. They have been tremendous to work with. They have put together a working group to develop legislation recognizing the need and the urgency. Unfortunately, as Mr. Bronner and Mr. Sherman have told you, we are playing a game where the rules change constantly, and I've never seen a game like this before in all my life. 17 years of lobbying Congress and the legislature, it has been very, very difficult. It's kind of like playing darts in the dark, basically, and it will change. And hopefully, as we move through this project process as quickly as we can, don't take a lot of pride in authorship here, because it may look a little different as it moves through potentially the Senate. We talked a little bit, and you talked about the categories, certification and licensing, and that's very difficult for us. I represent some entities that are licensed in the state of Oregon, and that's the highest designation. The highest designation for appraisers will be certified, and that's going to cause some confusion for people out there, because they will want to hire the licensed appraiser, because that's the highest appraiser in terms of qualifications and education and those kinds of things. But the federal law says it has to be certified, and so that's what we're doing. But now there's some discussion, and we'll know a little bit later, as to another classification. And hopefully we'll have enough time to, if we have to, put it into the statute. The individuals in the Appraisal Foundation, simply put, are those involved in all kinds of appraisal activities, be it residential, be it commercial, right-of-way, personal property, and their various designations. One of the designations, in order to receive the high, one of the high designations, is $30,000 of experience. Also want to thank the bankers for the fine work that they've done. We've been working with them and the other organizations involved in this, and we are almost there. We still have to get to the a few more questions to ask, but we've got a piece of legislation that we think will work in the Secretary of State's office. It would be nice to put it somewhere else, but they do have a licensing structure there already. They license CPAs. They'll be certifying appraisers. They license CPAs and tax preparers. So it's not new to them in terms of setting up a licensing situation and dealing with experience in those kinds of activities that we might find that they wouldn't know how to do. The policies of our organization are, one, to ensure the integrity of the appraisal process and the independence of the state appraiser regulatory system. And that gets us, unfortunately, out of the real estate agency who has been licensing appraisers. And there are very few states in the United States that license appraisers currently. And as you have heard, some say one of the problems with the real estate situation in terms of markets and savings and loans was the appraisal activity. Perhaps the federal government overreacted. Nevertheless, we have to enact some legislation. Another policy is to require individuals to first demonstrate meaningful skills in order to qualify as state certified or licensed appraisers. We've done that in the state of Oregon because we license the people that I represent, the Appraisal Foundation. And it is going to be difficult for some of these people because they're going to have to take a test again. And who knows what that test is going to look like. The board, based upon some federal standards, will enact a test, and it might be a national test, it might be a state test, we don't know. And three is to provide a maximum protection of the financial interests of the United States in all federally related transactions, whether commercial or residential. I heard a discussion earlier about where the problems were caused, and I don't know about the dollar value, but I was reading some testimony before the federal government, and it was on the Appraisal Foundation, and there are 30,000 real estate pieces of property that are held by the Resolution Trust. Of that, 90% are residential. Now, we can talk about value, but I don't know what the value is, but there are clearly an awful lot of pieces of real estate that are in the residential area, I assume under the $150,000 limit, or at least $150,000 value. So it's all over the board. We hear about the large pieces of property, commercial properties that were appraised at $15 million, and then when they were bought back, they were appraised again at maybe $10 million, something like that. But there are an awful lot of residents that are involved in this. We can play a vital role in setting up the educational requirements and the preparation for certification and licensing. One of our advantages that we have, although it seems like a disadvantage in the biennial system that we have, is that we've been able to now look at what the other states have done, read the interpretations from the federal government, and that's been very, very helpful. We still have this July 1 deadline. There are a number of states scrambling now to amend their statute. It's the only thing that they can do because the feds have said that you're not going to get our okay unless you amend the statute. So we're in a position now of being able to work along the process. Again, the problem is by July 1, even if we move as quickly as possible, we're not going to, I can't envision it, have any certified appraisers in place. And that's where the temporary comes into place. I'm not sure what else I should provide to you today. I didn't want to provide you reams and reams of paper. I've worked with Mr. Bronner in the past on a number of issues, and he's very good at that. And he's provided you an awful lot of information, and hopefully you'll have an opportunity to look at it. You'll hear from the real estate agency, the realtors, and you need to realize, and it's been said, that as you deal with this legislation, that those brokers today in the state of Oregon can't appraise within the scope of their license. After July 1, they're not going to be able to do that. They will have to have a separate license. They will not be able to appraise in the state of Oregon unless they have the license or the certification. And so that's something that we need to communicate to people. We can't do anything about that. The feds have said that you have to have a license for appraisal, and you'll have to go through the activity and demonstrate the experience, demonstrate the education, and then, of course, pass the test.
Mr. Chairman, could I ask Mike a question? Mike, hypothetical question. Since we're faced with a time crunch and this new committee, the board, of course, won't have their act together, it's going to be hard. Would it be possible that the Legislative Assembly, by statute, could temporarily certify and license existing appraisers for a period of 90 days or something like that after the 1st of July till things sort of catch up with itself? We're not involved in real estate transactions. I am, but as a body, the rest of us are not.
Mr. Chair, Representative Barnes, I don't think you could. Now, I may be wrong, but the clear date is July 1. Hopefully, the board will, now we're talking about the feds, by reading the board will recognize that there are so many states that are just literally floundering, not because they don't care to enact legislation, but because there has not been proper direction from above. And we feel some optimism that there will be the December 31st allowance, the 6-month extension. But the law is pretty clear that you have to be certified and you have to go and or licensed and you have to go through these structures to get there, and you'd have to have the testing mechanism and all those kinds of things. So I don't see that the state of Oregon could say temporarily we're going to make you something that the feds won't allow you to be. So I think it will be difficult for us.
I was thinking, Mr. Chairman, of involving the real estate commissioner in terms of her recommendation for people who could be temporarily certified or licensed. But I see what you're getting at. It was a hypothetical question to see if we could bridge the gap.
In part, the problem is you have to adopt rules. And you have to have someone to adopt the rules. And who would adopt the rules? And could the real estate commissioner adopt rules to do this when they don't have the authority today potentially to do that? Somebody would have to do that. I think there is the opportunity here with the Secretary of State to start sitting down and working through, because we have been very successful, as in a uniform fashion, all the interests of sitting down trying to get a consensus, and we have literally arrived at consensus. There are a few little problems with the bill, but we can overcome those. I don't think there's any question about that. So we have to sit down and start looking at what are the requirements so that when the new board meets, or this temporary board, because we don't have anybody certified, that they can, as quickly as possible, adopt the temporary rules to get everything in place. But the problem you have is that each individual that wants to be licensed or certified is going to provide the information to the board, and somebody's going to have to determine whether or not they're qualified through the first phase. And I use this term grandfathered in the sense that their experience and education is grandfathered in, past experience. Somebody has to check that out. We just can't rely on their word that, yes, I have been around for a few years. You don't know who I am. I have all the education. I can't get it for you, or I can't demonstrate it. I don't have the forms to show you, but trust me, I want to take the test. And that's going to take some time to do all of that initially, because the gentlemen and the ladies that I represent, their livelihood is appraisal activity. And we've got to move as quickly as possible. That's why I have a concern about the fees. I'm not one that likes to increase fees, but the fees are the fees that are in the statute today. And it would be great if the Secretary of State could administer this at the present dollar amount, $150 over a two-year period, I believe. It will be difficult, and we need to talk to the Secretary of State and the individuals working to find out what they think it may cost, because they will have some expertise in other areas. So it is an immense bureaucratic mess. There's no question about that. There are going to be a lot of people that are going to be mad because we're not going to move as quickly as once we get the legislation passed, as quickly as they would like us to move. Because everybody is going, you know, everybody that's licensed today is going to be qualified potentially. And somehow somebody's going to have to check that out.
Well, Mr. Chair.
Representative Walden.
Are they qualified potentially, because don't they have to go back and get the additional classroom training?
Well,
or what you're saying is maybe they've taken continuing ed along the way? Or?
Mr. Chair, Representative Walden, we're not sure, but we understand that how it's going to come down is for the licensing, you're going to need 75 hours, and then 2 years of experience or 2,000 hours of experience. These are now what we understand the rules are going to be. Certified is going to be 165 hours, 2 years, and then there's some discussion about with complex experience for the certification. And then I throw in the wild card, and that's residential certified, which we haven't talked about, but that's on the drawing board. And that is 90 hours and some complex experience.
Any questions?
Now,
where's this training available? Is it, if they're going to need to get extra training, is somebody working at this point to say the classes will be there?
Representative Waldron, training takes
place. Please identify yourself for our record.
Okay. Larry Tappanen, chair of the Appraisal Foundation of Oregon. For quickly a broad scope of what the foundation is, or the Appraisal Foundation, it is a coalition of appraisal organizations that represent the vast amount of appraisal and appraising functions that go across the United States. In this group, we have the members or chairs of the basic appraisal organizations represented across the United States and are particularly represented in Oregon, such as the Appraisal Institute and the Society of Real Estate Appraisers, who are now one, representing approximately 600 members and candidates. We have the American Society of Appraisers with approximately 75 members and candidates. We have the International Right-of-Way Association, who are government employees for the most part, and private employees who are employed by Department of Transportation, railroads, to garner and to make appraisal for acquisition and easement. We have the farm managers and rural appraisers who are licensed within their own organizations and make particular appraisals in their designations. We have...
The question was about where is the training available?
Yeah, I will get to this. Okay. I'd like to let you know who the board is, because this all ties into the training. Another organization is the International Fee Appraisers Association, who are represented in Oregon also. Each of these organizations have training. They are chartered nationally to provide licensing to themselves and certification unto themselves. The MAIs, the SRPAs have extensive training systems and rigorous restrictions and qualifications for them to get their ticket, their ability to make appraisals and be accepted by lending institutes. The American Society of Appraisers also has similar type of training. Whereas one society might be interested in strictly real estate, the other society might be interested in business evaluations, appraisals of fine arts, machinery and equipment, livestock, intangibles, things of that nature. As it currently goes on,